Good morning. Welcome. Fourth and final hour of our get-together underway right now. We affectionately call it the 9 o'clock stretch. And we do. We actually literally stretch it out. Let me put my leg up here.
You're going to get stuck, Bob.
That was too much.
You're going to get stuck.
I knew it. I shouldn't have pushed it.
Uh-huh.
Cramp! Yeah. It's 9:08 now. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Good morning. Good morning. Let's make it a great one. Come on. University of Florida, go Gators. Getting ready for football season and all that. It is party time. Wait. Hold on.
What?
Gators aren't a big party school anymore. They kind of fell out of the rankings quite some time ago. Academic standards and accomplishments went up. Party went down. See how that works? Yeah. That's a good thing, though, overall. Academically, that's where you really want to do your best. And University of Florida, for a state school, one of the tops always, nationally ranked. And bang for your buck, I think it's hard to beat. I think for the level of education that you get and the cost, I think it is one of the, if not the, but I would say it's definitely like in the top five best values in an education. So we're very fortunate. We're very blessed, and it's in our backyard. But, yeah, I remember back in the day, Florida was the party school. And they don't, they're not even in, like, the top 25 anymore. This just came out. I think it was USA Today it was. I'll just do the top five. Coming in at number five, when we're not eating cheese, we're partying. That's Wisconsin.
Cheesehead.
In case you hadn't figured that one out yet.
That's the cheese reference.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We've been so jealous of the University of Florida for the last 40 years, we finally can say we're better at them, better than them at something. Coming in at number four.
Oh!
The Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fine school. I like to tease.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Greg, did I ever mention, because I know, you've lived here for like a dozen years now, so
yes.
You might know this, but do you know why the St. John's River flows north?
No, Bob, I've never heard this before.
It's because Georgia sucks. You have to say it with that kind of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Right in the face of your Georgia Bulldog friends.
Uh-huh.
And I just told you minutes ago how to be more likable.
How's that working out for you?
Okay.
Moving on. Yeah, moving on.
Oh, another school. Very, very jealous of Florida. Not everybody's kids can get into UF. Look,
yeah.
I'm not bragging, but I am 3 for 3. Okay.
Well, and one of them was an overachiever.
Oh, yeah. She graduated 3 times from UF.
So that's like a couple extra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once again, I kid. If my kids went whatever school they'd go to, I would be a fan of that school's.
Course, yeah.
By proxy and by payment as well.
Uh-huh.
But coming in at number three, not Tarzan U.
No.
Florida State. I was trying to do the.
Yes, I could pick up
did
on
it.
That.
You did? You could, yeah. You could get even that
you
bad?
Were,
you could
you,
guess it?
Oh,
I was doing the because I was doing the tomahawk. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Florida State. Parents, you got to be real happy with that. They are number three party school.
Wow.
Parents are going, I'm not happy with that, Bob.
That's what you're paying
I
for.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to rub your rhubarb.
Yeah.
Number two, we got sick of them dominating in football, you know, so sick of it. It was a celebration whenever they did lose, no matter who they lost to. Coming in at number two, yes, we're all a little jealous in some ways of Alabama, the Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're named for winners. Crimson Tide. That's the name they give to winners. That's why they call me Deacon Blues.
Oh, ooh,
remember the song?
Good song. Oh, yeah.
Steely Dan.
Absolutely.
All right, coming in number one, not really a stretch. If Nolens is in your backyard and all they do is partay with Mardi Gras and other things, they'll be smoking that Mardi Gras. Number one, party school, Tulane.
Oh.
Who would have thought?
Hmm.
But anyway, so that's your top five. And University of Florida, not in there. Miami's in the top 25 in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But not UF. We're serious here at UF now. We've lost that reputation, party school reputation, which is good.
You got Dr. Bell, who was smart enough to leave Alabama and come to the University of Florida, so there's that.
Oh, so I chalked that up as a huge win.
Absolutely.
You've been hanging out with him, haven't you?
We met.
You're going to get us like some cushy teaching positions over there, Greg? You got to work on that.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. Something.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know? Well, in the School of Journalism?
Ooh.
Teach the kids radio.
Yeah.
We know more about journalism than 99% of practicing journalists.
That's probably true, too. There is that.
Yeah, it starts with the facts. That's kind of where they go off track, right from the get-go.
They lose it right there at the beginning, don't
they? Yeah.
That's awful.
So we got that going on. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, baby. They have arrested more than 1,300 illegal aliens across the sanctuary state of Maryland and Virginia, thanks to Operation Safe Community. Brave men and women of ICE are hard at work every single day getting these dangerous illegal aliens out of our country. So says Mark Wayne Mullen, the Secretary of DHS. Over the course of just 2 weeks in Virginia and Maryland, they arrested sexual assailants, kidnappers, drunk drivers, robbers, and gang members.
Wow, they're busy.
While sanctuary politicians in Virginia and Maryland keep putting the needs of illegal aliens over the safety of the American people, the Trump administration will always put American citizens first. By arresting and removing illegal aliens from our communities, we will make America safe again.
Nice.
So, hard at work, getting rid of bad people that do not belong here. Israel Prime Minister, he just mentioned this recently on their, what they call Channel 14 there, that there was a murder plot, not against him, one of his sons.
That's scary.
Yeah. And, that is scary. Now, I guess they can disclose it, you know, publicly because it happened some time ago or attempted to occur some time ago. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu revealed Monday that Iran attempted to assassinate one of his two sons, publicly disclosing the alleged plot that had reportedly been known to Israel's security establishment but barred from publication for months. There is something here that is unbelievable. Iran targeted one of my sons, he said. Iran tried to kill, to murder one of my sons.
Wow.
And, the plot thickens, if there could be such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of your top stories, definitely, of the day, actually made the announcement yesterday, but Operation Economic Outcast is underway. And here's Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
The actions of Treasury and other agencies will tighten the noose and block every potential source of revenue that funds the IRGC and the evil Iranian regime.
If anybody knows about tightening the noose, it would be the Iranian regime.
Oh, yeah.
They like hanging them some people, don't they?
Yeah,
their own people.
And anybody else who gets in their way.
Yeah. So that was good. We're tightening the noose, and you know how that feels. We're going to choke them out economically. Yep. And, we'll probably touch on that a little bit. We've got other top stories we want to get to. We got things that make you smile about a half hour away. It's all coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Oh, yeah. Here we are. It's another awesome day. Get ready for it. And it's going to be made even better by news that the tropical situation in terms of any adverse weather conditions is virtually non-existent.
Ooh.
In all the waterways nearest us, the Gulf of America and the Atlantic Ocean, going all the way to the African continent itself. Two little blips on the screen mean really nothing to us at this point. If that changes, of course, we'll let you know because
yes.
we were there for you then and we're here for you now. 97.3 The Sky, we've always been the station for accurate storm forecast, up-to-the-minute information that you need when storms are about to hit north central Florida. And we will continue to give you the information that matters. Sky Storm Watch, service of Best Restoration, Masters of Disasters, Radiant Credit Union, and Area Rug Masters. All clear. I'm signaling the all clear.
Yes.
Again, if that changes, I will let you know in plenty of time. United Health Group. Now, remember, that was the one where their CEO got murdered in cold blood
mm-hmm.
by that Luigi M. Mangione.
Right.
Well, now, you got to take this for what it's worth, the study, but listen to this.
Okay.
According to a recent study commissioned by Insurance Watchdog Coalition, they revealed that profit margins were four times what the health insurance company claimed. Now, remember, that's from this watchdog group.
Okay.
Insurance Watchdog Coalition aims to educate Americans and elected officials on the dangers posed by big insurance and work to hold the conglomerates accountable. They released the results of the study on United Health Group and its claims of earning relatively low profit margins because they treat premium dollars that are subsequently paid out in medical claims as revenue. However, the study released in August of 26 by economist Nam D. Pham, Ph.D., found that this is wholly disingenuous. Quote, when passed through medical costs, that's claims, reimbursements paid to healthcare providers that are not retained by the insurer, when they are excluded from its revenue, United Health's operating profit margin averaged 33% of gross profit from 2020 to 2025, compared with its average 7.6% net margin. A press release detailing the results of the study revealed, in other words, that profit margin is four times what it claims. Ooh, that is not going to make people happy.
Uh-huh.
If indeed we're talking about apples and apples or oranges and oranges. United Health Group obscures its profitability by counting funds used to pay medical claims as revenue, identifying $26.4 billion, what it describes as the company's shell game. Now, because these pass-through costs are neither retained by the health insurer nor reflect added value of the business, excluding these pass-through costs from revenues offers a more meaningful reflection of profit margins. This approach mirrors the treatment of other financial intermediaries, such as brokerage firms, which do not report on the value of their clients' trades as revenue, only the fees they retain for facilitating transactions. When these pass-through costs are appropriately when they're appropriately excluded from profit calculations, UHG's profit margins are comparable to the average among the top 10 innovative biopharmaceutical manufacturers at about 33% of gross profits. That comparison is striking because these 10 biopharmaceutical manufacturers collectively reinvested nearly 52% of operating cost, that's about 35% of their gross profits, into research and development to discover new treatments despite significant financial risks, while UHG operates a low-risk, high-volume business model in which 93% of the operating cost, more than 62% of gross profit, were devoted to selling, general, and administrative expenses. To build a giant healthcare conglomerate with none of its gross profits invested in R&D. So in other words, for the comparison, they use Big Pharma, which a lot of people aren't generally fans of, and they're defending Big Pharma by saying, hey, at least they reinvest in their R&D,
wow.
looking for more cures,
mm-hmm.
right? But the healthcare company, according to this report, the press release details the findings said, according to the study, the average annual gross profit from 2020 to 2025 was $79.9 billion. compared with an average of $29.9 billion for the 10 largest U.S. manufacturers by revenue. Operating profit as a share of gross profit averaged 33% for both UHG and the biopharmaceutical group over that period. That is, well, let me put it to you this way. When they did these kinds of studies with the oil companies, their profit margins, I think, were around 9%.
Wow.
Yeah. So just to give you an idea, grocery stores operate somewhere between 3 and 9% as well. It just gives you kind of an idea. Again, it is a study. It's a watchdog group. They want to make some headlines. They're probably supported by, you know, people that contribute. But, yeah, if it's at least, you know, partially true, that is something to look at, something to think about. You want profit. You want companies to be profitable. But to what extent, especially when either Americans or, you know, taxpayers or the government, whoever is footing some of that bill. 928 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, 15 minutes away from things that make you smile. More top stories, information, it's all coming your way on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. 9:35. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday brought to you by Waste Pro, caring for our communities. And I like that. Senator Adam Schiff. Latest attack on President Trump.
Really?
Yeah, and the backlash. No, he went there. He went there.
Oh.
He didn't like the 250, the car race.
What? What's wrong with that? Come on.
He said it was, you know, wasting taxpayer funds and it was self-aggrandizing.
Okay.
And, he criticized Trump for ordering the Washington race by executive order and accused the president of using the motorsports spectacle to distract Americans from higher costs and policy failures. He said, while you struggle with the cost of gas, Trump offers you the spectacle of an IndyCar race, hoping you will not notice.
What an idiot. Do we think just because we watched a race, we don't realize what gas cost? Come on. We're not that stupid.
And remember, he's the party that wanted to crush and kill oil companies to begin with.
Uh-huh.
Remember him and his pal Joe?
Oh, yeah.
More taxpayer money spent on his self-aggrandizing distractions. And you get higher taxes and higher costs, he added. Oh, when a Democrat is worried about higher taxes and higher costs, wow, I can tell he really cares. Well, here's the problem with his theory. Number one, he's full of Schiff.
Mm-hmm.
Because Penske, you know, the automotive racing folks,
yeah, right.
they bankrolled the event. Now, there were some small costs that had to do with security and things like that.
That's always,
but the major event part of it, the major part of the funding, all was from private funding.
See, here's the problem, Bob. You're dealing with facts.
Uh-huh.
He's dealing with lies and hyperbole to try to make Trump look bad. That's the difference right there.
Bobby Rahal's kid, because we all remember Bobby Rahal, Graham Rahal, who's now a racer. But anyway, he said, no, Adam, you know, did this on X.
Uh-huh.
No, Adam, he wanted you, meaning Trump, he wanted you to bask in the pride of being American, watch great racing and patriotism on display. And he said, not only that, but this was privately funded, not government, although it did drive thousands of folks to the D.C. area that may have never been. That's economic impact for you, which, you know, there you go. Here's a race car driver has to give you a lesson in economics and how the whole event was paid for, because you, as a senator, refused to do any real homework before you just shot off your pie hole.
Well said, Graham. Well said.
Yeah.
I like that.
And there was much more, backlash in that. Yep. And there should be. This, again, he shows himself to be a complete, you know, ass, basically.
Yeah.
Adam Schiff. We got no real use for you.
Schiff or Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
We just ship them out. You know, if they were accidentally caught up in a raid and got sent somewhere, you know, worse things have happened to our country. Just saying.
Doesn't matter how rich you are. If you're fooling around with prostitution, you could get busted. And that's exactly what happened with this guy, Jed York. Okay, Jed York. Okay. When you hear the story, you're going to go, Jed York, what a dumbbell.
Okay.
No. Mm. No, you didn't. You weren't a gym rat like me. York barbells were famous through the years.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. It was a stretch. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
But the story is nonetheless true.
Yeah.
Jed York has a net worth himself.
Yes.
Of about $500 million. His family's worth between $8 and $9 million. He owns the San Francisco 49ers. He owns a big football team and has money in the bank. And his family has billions. He got busted in Ohio, is where he's originally from, allegedly trying to enlist the services of a prostitute at a local trailer park for $140.
What do you even say to that? That's just, yeah. Yeah.
What do I say to that? Even when you're really wealthy, you could still be a bargain hunter?
I thought you were going to say really stupid, but either would apply.
I already did that. I say he's a dumbbell.
That's true. But looking for a good deal, apparently. Yeah. Hmm.
And the judge knocked down some of the charges and basically, I mean, let him off the hook. But, you know, I know why he did. This guy is going to take so much heat, so much lampooning from all the circles, all the people around him. You know, San Francisco Chronicle. I mean, he is going to be, he'll be the butt of a joke for at least the next year.
Oh, yeah.
And then if his name ever pops up after that, we'll be reminded.
Because he's hoping somebody else will do something equally or more stupid to kind of overshadow his stupidity.
Yeah.
That's what they usually hope for.
Well, he's raised the bar a little bit with this one.
But there's always someone who'll take the challenge and say, here, hold my beer.
He was arrested in Ohio Sunday, charged with engaging in prostitution and another charge of possessing criminal tools. We haven't yet
found out
exactly what that is. Hmm. Hey, baby, don't I look sexy? I brought my favorite pair of bolt cutters. Yeah, I don't know.
Manly. I don't know. I don't get that one.
And while the more salacious charge was downgraded to disorderly conduct, a plea deal with the prosecutor, initial charge in which York was arrested and arraigned, that sticks in the minds of fans, media, and everybody. Yeah, they're going to remember the charge. It was downgraded, but disorderly conduct. I mean, talk about giving the guy a huge break.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, don't do that. And you know where it was? It was in East Palestine, Ohio, where that train had gone off the rails.
Yes. Well, so did he, apparently.
So that's exactly right.
Oh, man.
Apparently, he responded to an advertisement on Sunday from what police say is a known prostitution website in that county in Ohio. He allegedly arranged to have activity with a female in exchange for $140.
Wow. Again, so many things you come to mind and you think, but it's no.
But this could be, I mean, look, this could be a nice trailer park. It was called Wheat Hill Mobile Home Community.
Okay.
It might have been really nice. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm not going to correlate the neighborhood to the going rate, but I'm just saying.
No word on, I don't think, the woman involved. And the reason why that would have any importance at all is you want to make sure that this is a person who's not, like, involved in human trafficking.
Right.
Which in so many of the, that's one of the reasons why they don't legalize prostitution, because the argument used to be, look, if you've got two willing participants and they're willing to exchange services for a set amount of money, why would that be different than any other kind of business arrangement, if you will? Well, that took obviously an overly simplistic view of the whole thing and not realizing that human trafficking is going on, and the whole idea of the pimp thing.
Right.
So it's not two individuals making, working a deal per se in so many cases. It is, far more evil, I guess you would say.
Because sometimes it does. Does the story mention his age? And here's why I asked, and this is why I looked it up. I don't see his age. I'm just seeing pictures of him. Because sometimes when you hear owner or part owner of a team, we see somebody who we think has got to be 70 years old, but just for whatever to get to that status, I guess. But he's kind of a middle-aged guy, younger middle-aged guy. He's not, and I'm looking at the trailer park. It's kind of very typical of Blacktop Street, and then every 30 feet there's another trailer.
Right.
So very typical, kind of old school of what you think of when you've seen a lot of them over the years. So
it doesn't look upscale. It doesn't look beat up either, but
no,
it's not upscale.
It's very what you'd think of as a normal trailer park kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But
so what would his age, what significance would that play?
Well, again, because
should be a rule like you shouldn't be desperate enough to enlist a prostitute until you're at least 50 or something.
He doesn't look like he should be desperate, especially if you're worth $500 million. Yeah.
I mean, I said it earlier. I said, just buy the whole trailer park.
Yeah.
And give it back to the people and say, hey, whoever wants to thank me, however, whether it's a 12-pack of Busch Light or
or whatever.
Busch Light, whatever.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. You just, well.
I hear the sensors in my ear.
Oh, no, they're
getting close to the line, Bob.
They're real, because here's usually the line, and then right over that is Bob Rose.
And that is the key to my success.
Yeah. That's it.
I don't know what you're pointing. Oh, I know what you're pointing at.
Yes, you do.
Well, that was it, I think.
What's that?
That was my happy story. See, we've come up with a theory that if we do more of an upbeat, happier story going into things that make you smile, people are more apt to call in.
Because they're in a happy mood at that moment. Yeah.
Well, a lot of it has to do with, we also stir up memories for people in a lot of the stuff, historical or otherwise. So, remember that time that you almost got busted when you were soliciting hookers?
Wow.
Call in now.
And tell us something else about your happiness
today. Yeah, tell us what makes you smile. Maybe the fact that you didn't get caught that time. Hmm? All right. No, keep it upbeat. Keep it clean. Keep it family friendly, my friends.
Don't be like Bob.
No.
No.
Definitely not.
Don't be like Bob.
Call in now, though, for things that make you smile. Upbeat positive thoughts we're looking for. Brought to you by my dentist, Dr. Samantha Annis, and Transformation Dentistry. Call now, 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile. It's coming up next. It is going to be another fantastic day. Thanks for joining us, and good morning. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 9:51, and it's time for things that make you smile, upbeat positive thoughts, count your blessings kind of a thing. Yeah. Don't be shy. Call in now. It's brought to you by My Dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in 877-975-9825. Good morning, Mike. What's making you smile?
Good morning, fellas. Well, other than get up early and listen to this show, listen here. We shot a rocket off today, right? Somewhere just before sunrise? Your call?
Yeah, no, I didn't see it.
Well, yeah, I heard it on the news, and I said, doggone it, I missed another one.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen three or so down here. But my daughter and son-in-law up in Virginia, the son-in-law works at the Dulles Control Tower. And driving into work this morning, I know this ain't good, but he filmed, the rocket flew right over them up there, and he sent me a 28-second video of that thing traversing the sky, heading for orbit. That made me smile.
Wow. Yeah, it's a good thing they took that flight path, or he wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know how That's often it neat. Does go up the East Coast.
I hadn't thought about it, because we got to think of it, you know, more vertical, I guess, if you will. Yeah, we see an arch or whatever, but we don't think about...
Yeah, I guess it does. It does tend to go, I guess, to the north. I didn't give it enough thought.
That's
very cool. Yeah, I missed it. I'm bad about missing the thing. I used to be really good about wanting to go out and see if I could see them.
But we're usually kind of focused on getting here and getting in and getting things done. And then we look at the clock and go, oh, yeah, that was 12 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes down.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, normally, we try to avoid the politics on things that make you smile. Yep. I can break the rule because, well, me and Greg make the rules. So.
What is that?
But I just thought it was really cool that California Governor Gavin Newsom put aside his Trump derangement syndrome long enough to actually give him a little bit of praise and compliment him. And he is for the Trump accounts, the investment program that Trump started. And in fact, in California, they're going to kind of pigtail on that a little bit and expand on that program. And he was very enthusiastic, and even applauded Senator Ted Cruz as well, who was part of that effort. And he said, I'm very enthusiastic about encouraging people to get a Trump account. And he didn't like choke or pass out or anything.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, probably some of his supporters threw eggs at him when he was leaving.
Yes.
But I thought that was interesting that, you know, gosh, if they could do that every once in a while, just give a little credit where credit's due, we'd probably be in better shape. And that makes me smile. Let's go to Mike. Good morning. What's making you smile?
Well, what's sad in the forest is we are losing our Winn-Dixie, okay? And there's been a lot of naysayers. Well, they're not going to rebuild or open anything because nothing's going on. Well, there's major construction going on today, and to all the naysayers, I say, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, and that makes me smile.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Yep. All right. I'm smiling. Well, I miss my Betsy, but I'm doing a little bachelor thing. I got to actually, watch a baseball game.
Wow.
The other day. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but...
Well, but no. Sometimes you got to take time for those things that you can't when other people are around.
Well, I check in, and, you know, she's good about that. But, you know, every once in a while, you just kind of want it on, you know?
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
And remember I had my Rays shirt on yesterday, and I hadn't been paying attention to the schedule.
Right.
It was the Rays and the Tigers.
No. What are the odds of that?
Well, Dad, not only that, but if I'd worn a Tiger shirt, they would have won. So you're welcome, Rays fans.
Wow, you've got the power.
Yeah, they won 4-1. Yeah. Some good baseball, though.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, don't go anywhere. We're not quite done. We have the smoking gun next, brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy. Time now for the smoking gun, brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy. The Centers for Disease Control, that's right, the CDC, put defensive gun use figures back on their website. The data shows upwards of 2.5 million uses a year. 2.5 million times Americans use defensively a firearm to protect themselves, their family, or their property. And that's huge. But the interesting thing about it is, it's not like the CDC, you know, we're cooking the books per se. No, but it is... Because of gun control advocates, they actually took the data off of their website. Yeah, because gun control folks wanted them to do that. Well, the stats are back, and they're true. And the Second Amendment is alive and well for now. And that's your Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy. On behalf of Greg, I'm Bob. Have a great, safe day. See you.